Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, and Bob Beers. This is the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number two here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe here with you up until 11 o'clock. Bruins lose 4-3 last night in Arizona in the Bruins' debut at the new Mullet Arena on the campus of Arizona State. We heard the final call earlier today with Judd Surratt and Bob Beers. Judd joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good morning, Judd.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Before we get to the on-ice product, what do you think of the new rink?
Well, the vantage point was amazing. I think Jersey and I were maybe 15 rows off the ice, right at center ice. And it was actually a position that they changed because in the morning, the league and the team had us in a different spot. But there were two TV cameras right in front of us. So they said, we can put you here, but you won't be able to see anything in the neutral zone. So...
That's not that important. That's not that important. You know, you don't really need to see the whole rink.
So when we came to the rink around 4:30 and we started setting up, the National Hockey League was there along with some officials from the team. And there was an option just to the right of the cameras that was not being occupied. So they were kind enough to relocate us. And fortunately, the engineer that we had on site had enough cabling to get us down there. So from that perspective, the vantage point was terrific. Listen, it's only 5,000 seats. So the environment in there was definitely loud and things were certainly happening fast. But there were some things that happened, obviously, during the course of the game, even before the last controversial play, that you would have liked to have had a monitor or something that you typically have in a regular National Hockey League building to access and take a look at some of those plays that took place, a cross check that wasn't called, a trip that wasn't called, why the official didn't have his arm up when there was a too many men call indicated so the Bruins could get their goaltender off the ice and the extra attacker on. That necessarily wasn't available. But I have a lot of sympathy and a lot of credit goes to the Arizona Coyotes and the National Hockey League trying to make the best out of the situation at Mullet Arena.
Yeah, there are definitely some things that need ironing out. Obviously, you know, there were all sorts of audio issues on various broadcasts last night bleeding into the other. I saw some tweets from some of the beat writers who were there last night who, when the crowd stood up, they had zero view of the action. This is seeing people's backs. Yeah. And so, I mean, there are definitely some things that could be improved upon, but it's early yet.
Yeah. You're nice, John. Well, you have sympathy. You're nice. I have no sympathy for that.
No, I was told to be nice. Yeah. I got a text from somebody saying,
I said, I don't yell at me. That was all I asked. It's too early in the morning. I've already said that the Bruins, if they even went 1-1-2 on their three-game road trip, you know me. Hey, I went to the same college as Judd did. He got in with grades. I didn't. I'm not that bright on a three-game road trip going 1-1-2. What an idiot. I am. But listen, no, Judd, you're a nice guy. You're very nice. And by the way, Judd, this also isn't the first time from a radio perspective. Remember the old Continental Airlines or Brendan Byrne. You were in the crowd there, basically. You know, and then even the old Madison Square Garden, right? You were kind of in the crowd. I don't think we had a replay monitor at the old MSG before they redid it either. That stinks when you don't have a good monitor. That is. I have sympathy for you guys when you don't have that. That's tough because it's not that you rely on that, but it helps make, you know, clarity. It gives you that real, okay, I know what I saw, but now let me make sure I know what I saw.
Well, the issue is, this is not a National Hockey League building. It's not even close. No. But you're still trying to put forth a National Hockey League game and a National Hockey League broadcast, and you want to try and give people the information that they're accustomed to. And I remember when we started the broadcast, and that was the setup, and you have a tiny little video wall at center ice. So a goal happens 23 seconds in when Josh Brown scores. You want to get a look at what exactly happened. And they didn't necessarily have it on the video wall. They don't have the facilities to be able to put that together. And I think Beersy had mentioned just before we started, I hope we don't have plays or some sort of a controversy that would cause us that we need a monitor. We don't have it. How are we going to try
stinks.
And explain
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
And sure enough, that's the way the game ended.
Yeah. Well, all right. So, and I know we've had a lot of conversations over the years that we've been doing this show together about the way that the league and the officials handle situations where there's questions about why a call was made or why a call wasn't made. And that was my biggest frustration last night is, look, you know, I think the linesman blew the call on the non-icing, and it potentially cost the Bruins the game. And yet there's no real explanation that's been offered to the public, to the broadcasters, to anybody else about why that was waved off. Have you been able to put your finger on it at all? Because we played the clip at the beginning of the show of the call, and both you and Beersy just sounded completely dumbfounded, as most of us were.
So I asked one of the players after the game, what sort of explanation was given to you or given to the bench why icing was not called there? Now, what was relayed to me was that the linesman felt that the defenseman, I think in this case it was Derek Forbert, stopped skating or slowed up. Now, that was definitely not the case. Now, I'm still waiting to hear from the National Hockey League if I get an explanation. I sent a little note to the Situation Room, who forwarded it over to Hockey Operations, so hopefully we'll get some sort of an explanation why the call was made. But that's what I was told in that instance. But in the bigger picture, because I know this conversation was had. So in the National Football League, every scoring play is reviewed. Mm-hmm. And in the National Hockey League, every goal is reviewed. I think that there's got to be a way that a play like this can fall under the umbrella so the National Hockey League, as they like to say, can get it right to make the best call there, in the same way that you have recourse on a hand pass or a puck that goes in the netting. Could this be one of those plays that falls under the umbrella so the right call is made?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to most of us that this is a clear and obvious error that leads directly to a goal. So, I mean, it's not like we're rewinding the clock 30 seconds or a minute, like, you know, in some of these offside calls and trying to go back and dissect something. This is a rule that wasn't followed, and it ends up being the difference between the Bruins at least getting a point in that game. Right? We don't know if they go on and win the game or not, but they could have at least got a point if that call gets made and they have a face-off down the other end. You're not going to lose in regulation in 15 seconds.
That's exactly right, because in a lot of ways, think about the puck in the netting. And we saw this a couple of years ago when the Bruins were playing in Columbus in the playoffs. I think a lot of people saw it, or a lot of the Bruins saw it, and because of that, they may have stopped playing or hesitated because they felt there should have been a stop in play. The next year, the National Hockey League made an amendment to the rules, and that was one of the things that they could then review. The circumstance was very much the same there last night. If Jeremy Swayman has an opportunity, if he sees that, listen, he would have made a different decision to play that puck. It's right in front of him. He would have flicked it out of the way, giving the Bruins a better chance to get command of it and get it out of the zone. But I think that that's a play where the league has – they have the mechanism in place to make a better call. It wasn't made under the current rules.
Yeah, I'm curious what they would say about it. You know, I've made my case about video review numerous times. That, you know, not a huge fan of it. I mean, you know, the minutiae of 1 inch off, not even a half an inch offside, all that stuff. But, again, I'm off that soapbox. It's here, it's staying, all that stuff. I wish that the NHL reviewed puck out of play, but their contention about that is that every rink has a different amount of cameras and angles, and it might not be fair in this rink to that rink. And I'm like, that's BS. Use what you got. Help these guys out, because puck out of play can be one of the hardest rules to figure out, you know, so use what you got. Now they won't go there. I wonder, Judd, and this is where I don't want you to yell at me, because I'm not saying this is happening. I'm saying I'm wondering if the NHL wouldn't go here on this replay, because they would say it's different. It's more of a linesman decision versus a hand pass versus the high stick, that this is a, I guess, subjective opinion by the linesman, who we can sit here and say, and I'm with you, I thought it should have been called dead too. You know, going over the rule and everything, it should have been blown dead at the very least, as Ryan and I said. Even if the linesman said, oh man, it didn't, whatever, you bring the puck to center ice, you know, but it should have been blown dead. But I wonder if the league is saying, geez, you know, it's a subjective opinion by the official. We don't want to make that reviewable. Just wondering out loud.
Well, but in some ways, how is that any different than a goaltender interference call? There's certain, that's not an objective call. There's certainly some opinion that comes into that. And typically in the situation room, you have a number of different guys who are voicing their opinions, and they're not always all on the same page. So I don't see how this is any different. If you want to say it's subjective, fine. What you're viewing is whether or not you feel like the defenseman slowed up.
But he did. You watched the replay.
Made a play on the puck.
And by the way, it's to the dot, Judd. It's to the dot. Like, he skated his you know what off to the dot, and he took one stride where his skates come together, but he didn't stop skating. That was the other thing. He didn't stop skating, as you know.
I absolutely. So that's really the only subjective part of that, you know, that you're really introducing. Because it's not where the puck is shot, whether or not it goes over the goal line, you know, who won the race. If you have the replay and you have all of that, most of that seems like it's objective and comes closer to an offside review.
See, I went back and watched that video a half a dozen times and focused on what the linesman is looking at. And he's not looking in Forbert's direction. He is staring down that puck the entire way across the line, which tells me, I think he, especially given the angle, because he was coming from the other side, I think he probably got screened out and thought that Swayman touched the puck. That was my read on it, that he might have just erroneously thought touched it.
Well, but if that was the case, we're putting ourselves into somebody else's head, and this isn't really fair, but he should have said that then to the players. I thought Swayman touched it. If, you know, Judd's getting from a player that this is what the linesman said, that I think he just messed up.
Yeah.
I just think he messed up, guys. And
now in my view, guys, in real time, I think he waited as long as he did to make the call, because it wasn't clear and apparent that the puck was going to cross the end line.
Right.
Right. But the determining fact, you're right, Judd, but it's supposed to, this is the real conundrum. Is that the play is supposed to be determined by the dot when the first player reaches the dot, and it was clearly past the dot, and that's where that these guys are trained to do that. And I would think 99% of the time, maybe even 99.5% percent of the time, Judd, the play is going to be blown dead. It's supposed to be a safety issue too, Bud, as you well know.
Right.
So that's the other thing. So I'm with you. He waited and waited. I just think he messed up. I just think he messed up here.
I don't think that there's any question. Any way you boil this down, a mistake was made. It was baffling that it was made. And hopefully going forward, maybe the league can be a little bit better for this one.
Just before we let you go, Judd, putting all that aside, what did you think of the way that the Bruins played last night overall?
Well, I thought, you know, a couple of things. I thought Beersy put it well, that the Bruins got Vemelka'd last night based on some of the chances. I mean, they had some high quality looks that Karel Vemelka stopped. He was fabulous. He was the number one star in the game, even though Lawson Kraus scored twice.
I would take a Lawson Kraus.
A goal that was scored in the first 23 seconds. You had a goal that was scored. I know we're talking about a disputed play on an icing that was scored with less than 30 seconds left. You had a goal scored early in the third period. So I think that those are one of those things. Those are difficult for teams to stomach. You knew that Arizona was going to come out with a lot of energy. Now the Bruins were able to respond after that and square the game on the power play. But overall, I thought they played a pretty good game. They had some great chances. Maybe that's the one thing that might get stressed. Hey, you got to be able to manage the game properly from start to finish across 60 minutes and give Arizona credit. They came back, first game back after 14 straight on the road, and they were able to fashion the victory. If you want a silver lining, if you're a Bruins fan, the last time the Arizona Coyotes beat the Bruins, you won the Stanley Cup that year.
Yeah, that's
2010
true.
In Prague. Yeah, I know. It's so. Let's hope it's the same thing.
Appreciate the time, Judd. Enjoy the rest of the road trip, and take care of yourself in Vegas.
Day off in Vegas.
I've heard
baby.
You can get into trouble
Day
out there.
Day off in Vegas.
I'm going to the craps table. Here we go.
All right. Put down 20 for me. If we win, we'll split. If we lose, thank you.
Take care, Judd.
Yeah.
All right. There's Judd Surratt joining us at the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We'll get to your calls coming up next as we continue here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Billy Jaffe in with the guys on the road this week. 617-779-0985.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
High slot, Kolasar shakes around to check, shoots. Swayman fought it off the rebound. Swayman made a chest save and then dives on the rebound. Break for Stone, walks into the slot, gets off a backhand. Swayman a stick save as Stone was getting tailed by one of the Bruins. Couldn't get off the shot he wanted. Here's McBain, races over the line, into the slot, has his step, shoots. Swayman the stop.
The sounds of our amazing saves of the week presented by UFOS, who is teamed with Jeremy Swayman for Kick Saves for Cancer. UFOS will donate $10 for every save this season to the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, up to $25,000. Visit UFOS.com and learn how every online purchase also contributes to the goal of finding a cure for cancer. That's OOFOS.com. Ryan Johnston, Billy Jaffe, back here with you on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. 617-779-0985 is our number. Let's go to Ellis up next. What's up, Ellis?
Hi there. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Morning.
One thing I wanted to bring up was how Marchand was adamant that they didn't call the delay of game penalty on Arizona at the end. Near the end of the second period. And the other point I wanted to make was that roster spots are hard to obtain for the minor leaguers. But how long are you going to stay with Smith? He's been under two different coaches with two different hockey styles and just hasn't produced. And, you know, you're not going to get anything for him. So, you know, is waivers a possibility to open up a roster spot for someone like McLaughlin or Fabian?
Thanks, Ellis. With regard to Smith, they're trying to get him, you know, trying to get him going. He's been battling injury at times. It looks like a nag. It sounds like a nagging injury, but also he hasn't performed near the level that I'm sure he wants. We know that. And obviously the team is hoping for. I think there's also part of it where they're hoping to get him going, and maybe there is then a possibility to maybe investigate a move, RJ, with him. But
well, a lot of us thought that as they were getting healthy, that they might have a financial need to move his contract off, or that he might be a prime candidate to get moved off the roster to save cap space.
It'd be 1.25 is what they would save if they sent him, if he cleared waivers, like a Riley.
Right.
Going on. It's not the whole cap hit, which is $3 million for him. He's in his last year. I'm curious. I got to think. I mean, actually, Smith came out and had a shot first in the game right away last night. He was going. Two games ago again. But anyways, he hasn't been the same. He hasn't been. Here's a guy, the 20-goal guy, a couple of times with Nashville. We call him Shooter Smitty because he's on the puck. He's not getting into your inside ice. He is not making plays enough. Wouldn't surprise me at all if Greer ends up playing against a bigger physical team in Vegas on Sunday. How long do you wait? Look, they've already made some moves. Nothing would surprise me, but I don't see it happening today with regard to that. And what was the first question there?
He was asking about
the puck over the glass. Yeah. And that's where I said, if we're going to use replay there as well. I mean, the linesman was adamant. Did you see him that it hit the glass, that it tipped it? He was using the tip signal. I couldn't tell from where I was sitting. And, you know, even on replay, what we had, but we had so few looks on that offside call where they overturned that. So we got that one look. There was two potential plays where the puck could have come across the line. The NHL, in an email after the fact, stated which one it was.
Right.
And so we showed it the best that we could. I mean, our crew did a great job, but I mean, they're supposed to be the blue line lipstick camera.
Why is that feed not made available to the TV broadcast? Like, why can you not see exactly what they're seeing to make the decision?
I don't know. They made it pretty quick, didn't they?
Yeah.
They made it pretty quick. So they had to have better views than we did.
You guys showed the two views. I mean, it was just the center ice camera, but that was what you had.
Right.
And neither one of those looked offsides to me when I looked at those replays. I certainly didn't see anything that was conclusive.
Right. The first one, I'm like, okay, that if we had the other look, they must have seen it because the puck had to have been out. The second one, the stick was cupping the puck. You couldn't tell anything when he kept it in there. But I don't know. I'm sure they have their rules or their reasons why. But sometimes you get it immediately, and other times you don't get it at all. That's the thing. We've gotten it quickly from other games, and other times we don't see it at all. I don't understand it.
G is in Boston. What's up, G?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And, you know, building on what you guys were just talking about with Smith, right? So Smith and Riley, they've been trying to move. They talked a little bit about, packaging up Carlo to get something bigger. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of doing that. I think he's expensive for what he is. But I'm going to throw out another way of and another consideration. So, you know, if you look at time on ice and power play time on ice, and you think about, and this is splitting hairs, but if you think about, like, who could you package up and who, you know, of the top six that get the power play time, assuming, you know, power play time, you should be producing more. You know, if you look at DeBrusk, you know, he gets lots of time on ice. He gets lots of power play time. And at the end of the day, you know, he's playing, you know, at, I think, is the top he'll ever play. You know, why not package him up if you look at him compared to the other guys? You know, he's kind of underperforming compared to the top power play guys.
Well, what are you trying to add? I guess is the question. Where do you think they're deficient right now that you would need to make a deal?
Well, for a deep run in the playoffs, I think, you know, you could upgrade someone like to get Taze or you know, on the front, you know, on the you know, the forwards, or you could, you know, you definitely need a big defenseman. You need another, you know, you have three great defensemen, right, in my opinion. You know, right, you could use another. So I think you got two options. You could go for a big D, or you could go for a really great forward.
All right, thanks. Thanks for the call. It's still pretty early in the season to be getting into those types of moves, but I mean,
I don't see Taves. I don't. I mean, he's center. I don't.
Kane was probably more the, like, I, that's the name
that, the that dream, right?
That keeps coming out. Is like that, maybe.
I don't know. I we're not there yet, but they will. I think they have to look to add another defenseman. I do, if we want to get into that. I don't really don't want to right now. What I want to get into is get back to the,
I mean, you've got three really good scoring lines right now, and even with that, you know, you could say, okay, well, you know, defense would be your priority if you were gonna ask.
And I'm gonna look for offensive depth. I mean, of course, if you have but even a major deal, you're talking about major personality, moving in and out money, and you can do that later in the year when there's less money owed. But I look at a third line guy. I look at a third line guy and a depthy. Let me get quickly back to something to clarify or to help. So I'm told that the blue line feed was available in Toronto, obviously, because the linesman made it it was quicker than most of those video reviews are for offside, but that it was not available to both trucks, neither Bruins Nesson or Arizona. I think they're Bally Sports.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there was a lot of issues last night. We can joke about it, whatever, but this is a college rink trying to make itself ready for an NHL style, as Judd said,
are those views made available?
They are made available. Yeah, we've had them before. Okay. Our Nesson guys are great about it. They get them, but not always. I don't know the timing. Some of them come quick and others don't. They take forever. I don't know. But regardless, they weren't made available to either truck. So somehow, look, this is the end of it. They made it to Toronto right away. They had it immediately,
sure,
but they couldn't get them to the broadcasts. Go figure.
This is, I brought this up a few weeks ago. I don't know if it was on this show or the other show that I was doing, but the transparency that is missing, and it's not just in the NHL in these cases, where I think the easiest thing in the world to do would be to make the feed that the officials are watching, that the situation room is watching, make that available so that the TV crew can just turn that on and see exactly what they're looking at as they make the decision.
Yeah,
and if you wanted to add audio to it, that would be even better because they do that. That's what it was. I got into watching Australian rules football during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Okay. When there were no sports in America, and Australian rules football, when they do a video review, you can hear the video official and the official on the field talking to each other as they're watching the video. You can hear what they're looking at. You can hear what as they make the decision.
Well, that's a confident sport. I like it. I like it.
I say we follow the Aussies.
I don't think we're going to get to that level.
All right, Bob Beers will join us coming up next here on the Shaws and Star Market.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs, to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Good hockey show.
From the front office to center ice. This is the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe is just with us for a few more minutes here, and then he's got to skedaddle because the Junior Eagles are taking the ice today.
Providence, baby. Got to get down to Prov.
Joining us from out west is Bob Beers on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good morning, Beersy.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. We've been kind of dissecting the end of that game last night. Before we get to that with you, kind of your overall thoughts of how the Bruins have played this week. You know, we're in the rare spot of talking about two losses in the last three games with this team.
Well, I mean, so which game were we taking it back to? The Colorado game, which was, I thought, pretty good. It was, you know, it wasn't perfect, but it was pretty good. You know, 4-0. It's hard to complain about that. Sure. I didn't think Linus Ullmark had a. I mean, he made all the saves he needed to. I didn't think he had an overly difficult night. So I you know, applaud the way that the team played in front of him. The third line with Coyle, Hall, and Frederick obviously, you know, have really come around and been a huge, huge factor in the way that this team is able to score with depth. I don't know if we is there another game we were talking about or
the Vegas loss on Monday night and then they lost last night. I mean, it's, you know, and
I think Vegas was pretty motivated in that one. I really do.
You think so?
Played well. I thought two thirds of the game outside of the goal to start the second period. The Bruins, I don't say by far the better team, but they controlled the play against Vegas there.
Well, the first half, I thought the first almost half of the game was Vegas. It took a while for the Bruins to find their game. I think Jimmy Montgomery said 28 minutes. He added to the number. Vegas looked faster than the Bruins in the first period or period and a half or whatever it was. The Bruins were a little out of sync. I don't think they found their legs for a little while there. And, you know, they gave up some things that they normally don't give up. And then it happened again last night. But, the Vegas game was one where we'll see, you know, and where the Bruins are here tomorrow, you know, against Vegas, a good Vegas team, right? This is a good team. It was a good test for the Bruins. Yes, they were the better team in the second half, but they were chasing the game a little bit by that point. So, and then last night, I think it's going to happen where you run into a hot goaltender. You know, I don't think the Bruins were bad last night. I just think it was a hot goaltender. You got a couple unlucky breaks that went against you. Vemelka's done that to different teams. You know, that's the Arizona needs him to do that to teams in order to win games. That's
stay in games. You know,
exactly. I mean, he was excellent. He was excellent. So the Bruins threw a lot at him. He was able to come up with the saves he needed to. There was a lot of grade A chances that just didn't go in for the Bruins last night.
Well, then think about this too. I mean, Bob said everything's right. I mean, Logan Thompson was excellent for Vegas too. When the Bruins,
he was,
you know what I mean?
He
so
was.
You're talking goaltenders, you know, here's the good news or the, you know, the bad news. Bruins are, you know, they lost in a shootout. Whatever. All right. Then they lose a very questionable no call last night, but yet both games, the goaltender's arguably the number one star. Not even last night. He was hands down the number one star. And then Thompson, I thought he was great. I actually very impressed by him and the way that he covered ice and Logan Thompson, the way he played. And I got to imagine, since Hill played last night, Beersy, that you'll see Thompson tomorrow.
Well, I would. Absolutely. I would be shocked if you didn't. Look, if you're winning the shootout, is anybody really concerned about the Vegas game?
Right.
It's
exactly.
A shootout.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, and it's I didn't get overly concerned about it. I didn't like the way they started the game. I liked the way they finished it. So, but last night, the one thing that bothered me about last night, and I do think that, you know, Vanilka was number one star, obviously, but the one thing that bothered me about last night was I thought that there was some breakdowns, some big breakdowns defensively, and Jimmy Montgomery and I played for a coach up at UMaine. His name was Sean Walsh. This is obviously going back several years, and we were at different times, but we played for the same coach, and he was huge in, you know, a couple of things that would determine games. He had this checklist of things that he'd go over after every game and say, if you get this, you get this, you get this, or you get 80% of this checklist, you know, you're going to win a game. One of the biggest ones was don't allow a goal in the first or last minute of a game, first or last minute of a period. And last night, there were three goals right? First shift of the game, goal. First shift of the third period, goal. And then, of course, with 13 seconds to go or whatever it was, goal. No matter how it happened, you know, there were three of those such goals that you allowed. And it's just something that's always stuck with me. You know, you try to make sure that you get momentum either going into a period, coming out of a period. And last night, you know, there were three of those goals.
Here's the same thing. Vegas, too. They scored early. I mean, in the beginning of the game. And then the beginning of the second period.
First shot.
Yeah.
First shot.
And then the beginning of this, was it Cotter again, right, to start the second period?
I couldn't remember how early that one was.
Yeah, early. But regardless, I mean, this is, again, I don't have a lot of hair left to split, but if this is something that, you know, you're looking at, you're saying, okay, well, you know, mentally, are they a little
tired?
Well,
just don't let it become a trend.
Yeah.
That's all, Billy. It's just, that's the one thing. You know, you get out in front of it when you see something that bothers you, you get out in front of it, you make sure that the team is aware of it, and you make sure that you rectify it. And that, I mean, I don't think anybody's worried right now. I don't think anybody's pushing a panic button. I think, you know, they've lost two out of three. One of them was in a shootout. So, you know, you come out with your best tomorrow night, and you make sure that, you know, you fix some of the problems that you've had. And it's going to happen. We all kind of know that. We've all predicted it. Nobody predicted they had the start that they would.
Right.
But everybody, you know, we all realize that you're going to hit some kind of rut at some point. And I don't know if this is it or not. You just want to make sure you get out in front of it.
What was your view of the way the game ends last night? We heard the clip at the beginning of the show today. I mean,
Then you know my take.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed.
You know, I've been saying it all morning. Like, my frustration is that we don't get any sort of explanation again at, you know, at a call that nobody can seem to figure out why the call was made. And there's nothing from the league. There's nothing from the officials. There's nothing from anybody except, you know, the Bruins, who are saying we all thought it was going to be icing and should have been icing.
Well, yeah. So I'm sure Judd put it in perspective for you from our standpoint.
Yeah.
We had no replay. We had no monitor. We had no, we saw everything live, just like, you know, you were watching it on TV. We had no way to, like, go back and say this. You know, I had to wait, you know, so I got on the bus after the game and look at my phone and try to find a clip of it. And I finally did. But, you know, talking to a couple of people last night after the game, right after the game was over, the explanation that they got, the players got, was that Forbert let up on the play. In coming back, if you watch the linesman, he's not even looking at Forbert.
He's not paying any attention.
He's not even looking at Forbert. He's watching the puck 100%. And the puck crossed the line. Jeremy Swayman did everything he was supposed to do. He held the post. You know, if it's going to go on him, he can cover it. It did not go at him. The blue paint has nothing to do with anything. That's an old rule. Anybody that thinks that is wrong. And it went over the line, no doubt about it. Forbert did not, to me, look like he let up. And I guess the issue was that, you know, then you lose the battle for the puck, and, you know, you don't react in time. But everybody thought it was icing, which it should have been.
Well, and he's got to make a decision by the dot. That's it. It's clearly
in the He doesn't, though, Billy, right?
Well,
that's the thing. He does not. The line does not have to make that decision by the dot, because you have to, it's a race, you know, on a clear cut icing. It's a race for that. It's a race for the dot. Yes. And who's going to get to it first? Sometimes if it's a wrap around, it doesn't matter.
Right.
First, because the other player is going to get to it first. So that's something completely different. But the linesman, that's the hardest call for. It's a really hard call for a linesman to determine if it's going to go for icing or not. There were three of those. If you remember the game before, it was against Colorado. The puck, it was in the third period, and it was trickling towards the line, and the linesman was watching, and then it wasn't going to get there as the defenseman was coming back, and he waved it off, right? And, you know, but they. If the puck is really just trickling towards the goal line, you know, you already know that the Bruins are back first. Forbert was back there first, so it would be icing. It's not going to be, you know, that it wouldn't be called icing there. But if it's trickling towards the line, he's got to wait till it gets to the line to make sure that it crosses the line before it's icing. And last night it did. And it should have been icing. And their explanation to the Bruins players were, or was, that Forbert stopped skating. But I'm not buying it because I don't think he stopped skating, and the linesman wasn't even looking.
No, he made a mistake is what he did. He made a mistake. But I would say 99%, maybe even more, and I said this earlier on the show, that's blown dead. Especially, I know there wasn't an Arizona player on his backside, right? But it's
no.
Safety first. That's the reason why they put in hybrid icing in the first place, right? We all agree on
right.
that. Right. But I
and that's the dots. That's the dots if the guy's right on him.
Yeah,
exactly.
But right. But again, I contend that even if this guy, you know, he saves himself, he blows the whistle, and look, mistakes happen. Players make mistakes all the time. Officials are going to too, but. He could have blown the whistle. He should have blown the whistle and then brought it back to center ice if it hadn't crossed the line and said, I screwed up.
Yes.
But anyways, he didn't, and we move on.
Just one more real quick question about it, because I've had a few people raise this with me on Twitter and whatnot. Did Swayman do the right thing in how he approached that? Should he have just played the puck and basically played for overtime?
No, I think he did the right thing. I think you see goaltenders do that all the time.
Yeah.
I absolutely do. I get where people would be coming from on that, but you're playing for icing. So, okay, here's the flip side. The puck is icing. You get an offensive zone faceoff with the best faceoff guy in the league, arguably, coming out with 13 seconds to go. In an offensive zone faceoff.
And the team does
and a chance to tee up Pasternak for a one-timer or something like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. No,
So he absolutely did the right thing.
Yeah. No, that was my take on it as well. I just wanted to clarify that with you. Beersy, we appreciate your time as always. Have some fun in Vegas, and we'll be listening tomorrow night.
Okay, guys. Thanks very much.
You, Bob. There's Bob Beers joining us from the road on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We will wrap up this edition of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show coming up next.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online marijuana wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Now, Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, and Bob Beers. This is the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, as we get ready to wrap up this week's edition of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, I wanted to share a clip that I came across yesterday. Zdeno Chara, now that he's retired, is off taking part in other people's podcasts. He played in an alumni game a couple of weeks ago, and now he's doing podcasts. He appeared on the podcast Games with Names, which is hosted by Julian Edelman and Sam Morrill, and they were asking him about the 2011 Stanley Cup Final, and he revealed something that I don't think anybody's ever heard before.
We saw players from Vancouver coming on the ice in the garden, and they were actually practicing how they would be lifting the cup and handing off the cup to each other. And we found out about these things, and we were like, you know, it just fueled us.
He says that happened after Game 2. Two games into the series, and the Vancouver Canucks were practicing how they were going to hand off the cup, still needing two more wins in the series. Now, a writer reached out to Kevin Bieksa from that Canucks team, who said 100% it didn't happen. Chara also claimed, by the way, that the Canucks had reached out to the league. There were some rumors, he said, that they had called the league and were asking whether, you know, how many people and family members they were able to take on the ice during the Stanley Cup celebration and all that, And he said it was a huge, huge motivation for the rest of that series for the team. It got around the locker room. And so, again, Bieksa denies it, but, you know, Chara says this is, you know, help motivate the team to win that Stanley Cup in seven games. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And there's still clearly some bad feelings between the two teams after all these years. Quickly, before we wrap up, I just want to send along some prayers here. Got word put out last night that Chris Snow, who is the Calgary Flames assistant general manager, he's a local guy, is from Melrose and used to be a Boston Globe beat writer, covered the Red Sox for a while. And then he got into hockey and eventually moved into hockey operations and data analytics and things like that. He was diagnosed with ALS 3 years ago. He was given at that point a year to live. His wife, Kelsey, revealed yesterday that he had to be placed on a ventilator, and they are still hopeful that he might be able to recover, but they're going through a really rough stretch. So I just prayers to Kelsey and their kids and their family, and our best to the entire the Snow family. As you know, hockey, very small world, and when something like that happens, it certainly does affect us all. So I want to send along our best as they deal with a very difficult situation. We'll be back next week for another edition of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Gasper and Murray coming up next.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.